Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin. 8:07 on this Sunday morning. Bright and beautiful on North Michigan Avenue. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower. A couple of people jogging by. But it's going to get warm today. Could feel like it's almost 90 degrees out there. For people like me, we'll be later today on a rooftop sweating out my cold and watching the air and water show taking place. It's just a great weekend in Chicago. Joining me now on the phone is Rodney Davis. He is the Republican congressman from Central Illinois. He's from Taylorville, which is just east of Springfield. And Representative Davis was part of the Republican Day, Governor Day festivities at the Illinois State Fair. So I had a chance to catch up with him and also to invite him on the show. Congressman, welcome back to the Sunday Spin.
Thanks for having me on, Rick. It was great to see you again this week.
Well, and I know you love the fair and I don't, so that's one area of disagreement I have to acknowledge. So the two and a half hours at the fairgrounds was plenty for me, okay?
I spent 2 days there this week and great times, but plenty enough for me too.
Well, as I've been telling everybody, the one thing that I was able to bring back from Springfield was a cold because of the humidity and the heat down there and then going into the air conditioning. So I'm still recovering from that, so I hope you'll bear with me.
Absolutely.
One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is you know, we kind of started out the show too, just still the kind of the reverberations of Charlottesville. And I appreciated your comments on this coming from the unique perspective of the fact that you were on that ball field in Alexandria, Virginia, when Steve Scalise was shot. And just the perspective of, you know, seeing what hate is like up close.
Yeah, you know, Rick, it's something that I wish I never was there, but, you know, the sheer fact that I was sitting there hitting baseballs when that maniac started firing at all of us, and it gives you, once you get done with the initial shock, once, you know, the shooter is taken out, you get a chance to reflect and wonder, why did somebody do this? What would propel them to bring a gun to a baseball practice at 7 a.m. and start shooting indiscriminately when we're surrounded by many innocent civilians walking their dogs, having kids out at the park? And then you start to see the news organizations investigate and realize this guy had one goal in mind, to get us because he didn't like the president and he didn't like us Republicans. Policy differences are one thing, right? But we don't need to settle them with bullets on a baseball field or, you know, in the case of Charlottesville, a car plowing into crowds of innocent people.
So we had kind of 3 days of mixed messages from the president on this. And, you know, we had kind of a strange first reaction to it. Monday, you had a more measured approach to it. And then Tuesday, in this kind of very bizarre and chaotic press conference at Trump Tower, back again to, you know, both sides and the question of whether taking down statues for the Confederacy, what's next, George Washington. There aren't both sides when it comes to issues of white supremacy, are there?
Oh, no. And I would urge all your listeners to go look at a video done by Vice News of that particular Charlottesville rally. They were embedded with these idiotic white supremacists. And you'll realize they are completely at fault. They planned a rally. They knew what they were getting into. They knew it would lead to violence. And they need to be called out for who they are and what they stand for, which is just hate and vitriol that needs to stop. When it comes to Charlottesville and the president's response, obviously, I wish he would have had the strongest possible response on day one. Although when you listen to the entire speech, without what I believe is an ad lib when he said on many sides, that speech was pretty condemning of the white supremacists and pretty condemning of the hate that we saw there that day. But then he did what we all wanted him to do. He clarified it on Monday, and then Tuesday, after a press conference, and I bet you can't tell me what that press conference was supposed to actually tout.
I bet you I can, because I want to talk to you about that subject as well.
Well, most people can't. It's infrastructure. You know,
right.
It's actually regulatory relief. I was on doing a TV interview with Jay Timmons from the National Manufacturers Association talking about how good this executive order was going to be to bring infrastructure into the 21st century, and then all of a sudden he decided to take questions. And then said what he said. It's unfortunate. I think the president brought a lot of this on himself. But in the end, I think we're all unified to stand up against the white supremacists that we saw there in Charlottesville, and they bear the complete blame for what happened there.
Do you think now, with the fact of the departure of Steve Bannon, if that is going to signal any kind of change? I mean, it seemed, I mean, the reports were that after that Tuesday press conference, that, you know, Bannon was cheering the president on. And, you know, given the nature of what he did with Breitbart News, and now he's back over there. But do you think that might change that kind of tone out of the White House?
You know, I certainly hope General Kelly's going to be able to start to exact some more discipline within the White House operations. I don't know if one person coming or going is going to make that difference. You and I have been around government a long time, Rick, and, you know, what is the perception may not be the reality. And I don't know how effective Mr. Bannon was in the last few weeks when the president was even criticizing him. But one thing that I will tell you, one thing I found out, you know, especially with this president, which is even somewhat different than others, you know, no matter what he says or what he does, there are going to be people that blame him for every social ill we have right now in America. And really, that's no different than a certain group that used to blame Barack Obama when I was...
I was just going to say, yeah.
With him.
The thanks Obama, you know, that kind of thing. But that's the nature of the politics, too.
It's the nature of the politics, and also... It just goes to show that there are fringe elements when it comes to policy differences on all sides. Now, just like it's not all sides' fault in Charlottesville, it's not President Trump's fault that some nut job white supremacist rammed his car into a crowd of innocent civilians and murdered Heather Heyer, which was just devastating. But it's not his fault for that, just like it's not Bernie Sanders' fault because one of his supporters, one of his volunteers, shot bullets at me and my colleagues on the baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, a couple of months ago. What we have to realize in America is those of us who don't believe in that hate and that vitriol, no matter what our policy differences are, we've got to stand up and be counted. We've got to be a louder voice than these fringe groups, because when we sit back silently, Rick, they feel justified. They feel like they've got a platform. And the results are Steve Scalise has been shot and still rehabbing, misses an entire summer with his kids. And then we see Heather Heyer be killed by a maniac. It's wrong and it's got to stop.
We're speaking with U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, Republican from Springfield, the Taylorville area. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue. And on the phone is Congressman Rodney Davis from Taylorville. Congressman, you kind of touched on that press conference on Tuesday. And yes, the purpose was supposed to be about infrastructure. And I guess as an example here, I'm wondering if it isn't the president himself that kind of steps on things that kind of prevents, you know, things from going forward. Because, I mean, let's face it, I had Marty Ozinga from Ozinga Brothers, the big concrete mixers here in town, and, you know, they'd love a great infrastructure bill. The state of Illinois probably could use an infrastructure bill. But does the president just get in the way of getting things to happen?
You know, I think he does. And that's where someone like General Kelly has to come in and help guide this White House to understand how important this messaging is, how important these rollouts are to actually having an effective agenda, because every single time the president decides to take questions at a press conference, he's got to understand that they're not going to ask him. They're not going to ask him about the executive order. And everything he says after that press conference announcing one of his priorities is going to be glossed over and missed. You know, but we, you know, Rick, the American people elected the first president in our lifetime in Donald Trump that did not have any government or military experience. That means he's got a different learning curve and a different style in being president than what all of us have been used to our entire lifetime. So it's going to be different. The American people wanted something different, and they got it. Now it's up to General Kelly and others to make sure that he knows that his agenda is going to be sidetracked if he keeps doing this.
So where do we go with infrastructure here? I mean, during the campaign, he was talking about a $1 trillion infrastructure program. And then we see something that it's going to be a like private partnership kind of thing. To me, infrastructure is something, if you wanted to reach out, that's something that, you know, both sides can agree on, is infrastructure.
You know, you're absolutely right, and it should be. But infrastructure packages, they're not going to be just putting money into the status quo that's been broken. And that's where we come in as Congress. You know, we need to give the president some new and innovative ideas that are going to actually put a $1 trillion infrastructure package together. You know, you remember, Rick, the last time that there was talk about $1 trillion being invested in infrastructure was President Obama's stimulus bill, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. But in that bill, in the end, there was only about 6% of that $1 trillion that was borrowed on the backs of the next generation. Only about 6% was actually invested in infrastructure. That's why you saw Solyndra and others that cost taxpayer dollars rather than added to what we were hoping that stimulus would have accomplished with economic growth. So we're willing to work with the president, and more importantly, we're willing to work with Democrats to put an infrastructure bill together, Rick. But I'm afraid that the Democrats, especially in the House, are just so dead set against giving any victory to President Trump that I don't know if we'll get a single vote on infrastructure from them, because they'll say, oh, it's never enough. We're not going to spend enough. We're not going to do enough.
Would it have been smarter to start out with infrastructure instead of the mess of repeal and replace Obamacare or where tax reform? And I want to ask you about those things as well. But it would seem like infrastructure would be a good starting point, just because there's an investment. You know, like I said, there's an investment among all sides that they'd like to see something for that.
Well, it's always easier to Monday morning quarterback when you see some failures like we saw in the Senate. But we were one vote away from going to a conference committee to fix this broken healthcare system that's left 20% of our population still without healthcare coverage or with healthcare coverage they can't afford to use. So we weren't that far off. But think about the Obama administration. What was the first issue they tried to tackle? Infrastructure. How many Republican votes did they get? Zero. So I think, politically speaking, the Democrats would have followed that same map and would have found a way to be against whatever we put together, even if it was 100% of what they asked for, because it's less about moving good policy in many cases, especially when it comes to leadership, and more about what are the politics of this decision.
Well, I spoke with Ray LaHood last week, former transportation secretary, and he felt that was a mistake of Democrats, even though serving in the Obama White House as transportation secretary, but he felt it was a mistake for Democrats to go it alone on infrastructure and the Recovery Reinvestment Act. And I think he said that there was, you know, $48 billion, I think, went to transportation as its share of things. But when it comes to infrastructure as well, though, and you look at the Federal Highway Trust Fund, the gas tax hasn't been raised since 1993. It's not sustainable. I mean, we're looking at complicated issues there about, you know, how do you fund for transportation in the future.
You know, there's nobody better than Ray LaHood at transportation issues and looking ahead. And Ray and I have some good times and debates when we get together over how do we pay for it. You know, if we just raise the gas tax and do nothing else, we're going to be back at this same underfunded highway trust fund in a few years because the federal government, by law, is requiring car manufacturers right now to increase the mileage in their cars.
Sure, and we're going to see the switch to more electric vehicles and those kinds of things that are not in the tax system.
Absolutely. Look at countries like France. The president of France said he doesn't want a single gasoline-powered vehicle on French roads in 20 years. What that means is these Teslas that are becoming cheaper are going to have batteries that last longer and go further. And it's going to get into the fleet level. And when that happens, our highway trust fund is going to just go belly up even sooner. So I think now's the time, especially with this infrastructure debate. Rick, talk about diversifying our portfolio, bringing these electric vehicles into that portfolio. That's when you also talk about asset recycling that and public-private partnerships that many in Washington are talking about right now. And you create somewhat of a 401k portfolio for infrastructure spending. And if we do that, then our highway trust fund is going to be less volatile to marketplace demands when it comes to the price of oil and usage of gasoline. And we can then have a steadier highway trust fund that's going to allow the states to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure much more with much more certainty and have more money.
So what do you see in that portfolio to make a sustainable highway trust fund?
Well, you've got the gas tax right now. Nobody's talking about taking that revenue away. And it would be a large part of the portfolio right now because if you added electric vehicles into the mix, however policymakers decide to do that, then you know what, Rick? We would still have the stability with actually more revenue coming in than what we have. And we have to loosen the regulatory environment to allow municipalities, allow states to use what we call asset recycling that many of our allies in Europe and Australia and others are using to rebuild and build large infrastructure projects. So instead of being 100% of the pie, you know, you got a pie chart. And right now our highway trust fund is 100% gasoline taxes. We've got to start throwing pies in, electric vehicles, asset recycling, tax reform, public-private partnerships to take some of that away from just that one source. And that's what we have to debate.
And we need to start taxing those trains that are going off behind you back there.
That's commerce, man.
That's the smell. That's right. That's the smell of commerce coming to Chicago. Well, Congressman Rodney Davis from Taylorville, thank you so much for joining me as always. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Take care. Good luck with that cold.
Thank you much. We'll be back with more right after this.